This is Caregiver's Compass, an uplifting podcast all about the ins and outs of caregiving for a loved one. Tips, tricks, true stories, and experts. It's all here on Caregiver's Compass. Hello and welcome to Caregiver's Compass. I'm your host, Stephanie Muscat, social worker and therapist. Please note that this podcast is not the act of psychotherapy. So today we have a super incredible person. I'm so excited to have her on our podcast today. Her name is Patty LaFleur, and she is a full-time caregiver for her mom, Linda. And she's also a caregiver for her dad, who currently resides in an assisted living facility. She lives in Auburn, Washington, and she is a kindergarten teacher. She is such an incredible person. Thank you so much, Patty, for being here today. I have no words to describe you. Maybe you can introduce yourself a little more. Let us know who you are.
Okay. I'm Patty. And like you said, I am the full-time care partner for my mom. I'm really intentional about my use of the word care partner in how I describe the relationship it is for caring for my mom, because it is such a partnership between the two of us. And because we have such a great relationship, I feel like I am able to provide the best care for her, which is partially why she's currently living with me in my home and has been for over a year. And my dad is currently in a assisted living facility because they can provide him the best care possible. Like you said, I am a kindergarten teacher. I am resigning right now so that I can really focus on taking care of my mom and my dad, and hopefully starting a family with my super supportive husband. He's incredible, and we have been married for it'll be 3 years in July, but we have been trying to start a family. And so I just think that by taking some time to really focus on my parents and myself, maybe we'll be able to start the family that we wanted. We have our two dogs, and then my mom has her two Joy for All pet dogs as well. A little dog loving family here, and it's just my mom and my husband and I, and my mom, my husband and I that live here in my home.
And thank you for that. And I'm so glad that you did clarify your use of the word care partner. I think that's so important, and I want to make sure that I am respecting the wording that you want to use. So care partner, I do apologize for that. So when I first joined this space, you were one of the first people I found, and you were such an uplifting, positive light on Instagram. And it was really, you know, in this entire community, you see all sorts of stories, you see all sorts of people. But what I saw from you every single day were posts of you doing activities and engaging, you know, discussions and conversations with your mom. And as you said, you are a care partner. So how did you get into having that uplifting partnership with your mom? And how did you create that bond with her? Is that from being a kindergarten teacher, or are you always creative in, you know, making those experiences? How did that start?
I think it's a combination of a lot of things. I have to give some of the credit to her, right? My mom was and still is an incredible role model in having a positive attitude. She has been a type 1 diabetic for 52 years. She was unable to have kids. And so she adopted me and my sister. And then she has dementia, right? That's kind of a lot that has happened in her life. And she has always been positive. She always has a smile on her face. She's always happy, always excited. So I had an incredible role model in that journey, right? I grew up with someone that was always happy and smiling and positive. I mean, in fact, people don't believe me when I say that I'm adopted, because we're so similar. We're both always smiling and laughing and having fun together. And so I had an incredible role model for that. Obviously, my passion is early learning, and my passion is really my favorite part about kindergarten is getting kids excited about school and also like building those relationships. And it's such a unique opportunity to meet people where they're at. And I think through all of my work and learning and growing as a professional and an educator, it's allowed me to really think about all people, right? Everyone needs you to meet them where they're at, especially people that are, you know, kids as they are reaching different developmental milestones. And then people with neurocognitive disorders, they need you to be able to meet them where you're at. So I just thought, what does my mom like to do? What did she like to do? What did we do together? We always loved holidays. So we always do these silly holiday crafts because we would do that. You know, she loved playing games. And although it looks really different on how we play games and how we do those things now, I just think about how can I meet her where she's at and then honor what her approximation looks like while still building her independence and having her feel successful. I would say another piece in the like discussion and the engagement is I've done a lot of work in my job. We've done a lot of work around like best practices and like questioning. And so I just am used to having these kind of conversations with little people. And they're the same kind of conversations you can have with big people because they're real questions. You know, I'm not quizzing my mom. I'm not asking my mom like, what color is this? What is this? It's all about having a genuine conversation and asking some of those deeper questions that you can, that anyone can engage with where there isn't a correct answer. It's more about like, what are we talking about?
Yeah. And that's really incredible. Do you have like a Pinterest board or somewhere that you pull from for your crafts? Or is that just something that you come up with or from your past that you used to do with her together for the holidays you were mentioning?
I would say it's a combination, right? Like Pinterest is amazing. And then I've done a ton of art projects. So I taught kindergarten for the last 8 years. And before that, I taught preschool. And so, I mean, it's just to me, art is such an important part of all learners, but especially early learners, because there's so many entry points and so many things that you're practicing and different parts of your brain that you're activating by doing the art. And so a lot of it are things that we've done. I've also connected with a really incredible art therapist on Instagram. And so she also gave me a ton of more like open-ended ideas. And so then through that, I've been like, ooh, what else could we try? What other kind of paintbrushes could we use? What other kind of sensory things could we try? We've really gotten big into sensory bags lately too, which has been great for my mom and great for her communication and her describing. And so I just think like, what can I put in the bag, right? Well, that's not going to be too cold because she doesn't like cold stuff and isn't going to be like gross. So what can I put in the bag and can we just try?
We had an art therapist on the podcast a few episodes ago, and she was talking to us about how incredible the outcomes were that she's seen specifically with dementia patients, but also, you know, just seeing a complete shift in the moment from, you know, an individual can be having a really horrible day, and then you introduce this project or this craft, and you just see such a shift. Do you see that with your mom? Are you able to introduce art on a day where maybe she's having a bad time and see that shift?
Yeah, I would say. I'd say it for my mom. Music is more powerful in those moments, but same with art is it just is, it takes a little bit more to get her excited. I think sometimes like she's willing to try everything, but she does like, once we get into it, yeah, for sure. I mean, nothing else really matters. And we're just able to share in the moment. And I think a lot about that, the art is more, the art that we're creating for me, and I think for her, it's more about the process, right? It's more about the time that we're spending and the relationship building and the conversation than it is about what it looks like at the end. I mean, I don't even worry about what it looks like at the end. We, and a lot of the things we end up hanging up. And so then she can see it around the house. Like we decorate for the holidays for that. It's her birthday's tomorrow. And so she's been painting a lot of dogs and we're having a dog party. So then, or dog party. And I like decorated with her dogs and she gets so excited. She's like, I did that? I'm like, you did. She's like, cool. So it's really cool. And for me also, it's exciting because sometimes she's not going to be doing art with me, whether it's that she has passed or, you know, life circumstances happen. And so I just feel like how special that I have these art projects that I can hold on to forever and remember that my mom is still a part of us and part of our family.
Definitely. And you're such a pro at working with her and empowering her and going through this experience with her. You know, I see a lot in my work and in my practice where there are a lot of people don't know how to interact with their loved ones once they do go through, you know, something like dementia and they're seeing a shift. And you're right. Sometimes people, you know, will question them and talk to them, not with them. And so I love that you have developed that skill over time and you work with her and you know that. And it's something that, you know, I think people just have no idea where to, how to even start with that. And so you're right. I think you have that experience as a kindergarten teacher, but also it's who you are and it's where you come from. And you're definitely knowing how to work with her through this experience. And, you know, tell me if I'm wrong, but I feel like you're able to identify when maybe she's having a difficult time. And you probably also know that she's also processing that as a difficult time. And it's not just difficult for you. It's actually pretty difficult for her.
Oh, totally. I mean, all of our difficult time. I mean, I 100% believe that behavior is communication and that no matter your age, I mean, I behave differently when I'm grumpy and I'm not saying it, you know, like, I mean, everybody acts differently when they're having a bad day or they're grumpy or they're emotional. And she doesn't have the words to say that anymore. And so that's my job is to understand kind of where she's at and give her that time to process and understand that when she is pushing me away or is crying or is having a hard time sleeping, that it's not just hard for me. And I have to honor that it's hard for me too. I think that oftentimes it can be really easy to only focus on the one person in the care partnership and how important I am also in this partnership. But I have to understand that she's not trying to have a bad time. Who wants to just have a bad time? You know, she just is having a hard time and I need to think about what can I do? Like what is happening in this hard time and what barriers or things can I take away so it's easier for her if it's something that's a pattern. And if it's not something that's a pattern, like how can I meet her where she's at right now and support her at the moment?
Right. And that's incredible. And, you know, you're talking about acknowledging that you're also going through a bad time, letting yourself feel those emotions, going through that process. Are you able in those, you know, maybe not exactly in that moment, depending on what's going on, but have you created any sort of a process for yourself where you can process those emotions, maybe, you know, later in the day or, you know, you put it aside until another time, but what do you do to process that for yourself so you can move forward and grow and then focus on your mom once again and being with her?
I think that I have like several answers for that. One thing is that feel like I'm pretty good at like putting it in its own place, like being able to understand like this is what I'm feeling right now and knowing that, like naming that for myself. I think that's the biggest key is like this is hard, like not saying it to her, but like we're having a hard time. I'm able to like get her back calm and then naming it for myself like this is hard. This is hard. It's okay that I'm feeling this way. It's okay that it's hard. It doesn't mean I'm a bad care partner. It doesn't mean that this or this or this. It just means we're having a hard time. Some things that I do to cope with that later are, I journal a lot. Journaling is a really great thing for me. It helps me to really process things. My mom and I were doing a daily journal before she broke her hip, and now we're going to start that again. And part of the daily journaling is we do our part together, and then I do some journaling so that I can kind of keep track of what's happening. There's like two other things I do. I have an amazing group of friends. My husband is super supportive, so he helps me process all of those things. my girlfriends and my guy friends, like, they're incredible. They're always checking on me. I'll post like I'm having a bad day, and they're always checking on me, making sure that I am giving me the space to process. And same with, like, I've developed a really strong support system of people online through Instagram or Facebook, or even TikTok has been something that has had connections that I've made. So that has been great, is having people who are going through something similar to talk about. My friends have been incredible, but they don't totally understand, which is fine, but they're a great listening ear and a great reflecting board. But sometimes, you know, I'll text one of my friends that I've made online and be like, this happened today. And they're like, oh, same. Or I tried this today. And they're like, oh, taking a picture, and they tried the exact same thing. So it just really that connecting. And then I also am such a believer in my mental health has to be in a good place. And so I also have a therapist that I see to just make sure I'm also taking care of me.
And that's amazing. You have such a great toolkit, you know, that you've probably created over the years. And one thing that I think is so important is your mindset, and you're so grateful. You really emit this, you know, gratitude. And whenever I see you, you're always saying, you know, how thankful you are for the people around you and what's going on. And that mindset and that perspective can be everything when you're going through this experience, and you're making it fun, you're making it uplifting. It's not all rainbows and butterflies, but you're doing your best to get through it and to try and take it every single day. I know you did make reference to your mom breaking your hip, and I just want everyone to know, can you tell us a little bit more about that and how that maybe shifted everything for you? And did that lead to you wanting to take a step back from being a kindergarten teacher for now?
Yes and no. So it was the day before spring break, and it was right in the middle. She had gotten her second dose of the COVID vaccine, which I was so excited about. I was like just imagining our life opening up and all these vacations we were going to go on. And she fell and broke her hip. And that happened the week of spring break. And so then she was in the hospital. We had a pretty negative experience in the hospital surrounding the care and not great understanding of dementia or type 1 diabetes. And so it was just extremely challenging. She is self-proclaimed, calls herself Chicken Little. So as you can imagine, like, her fear for standing and walking was extremely high. She was in a very, like, unfamiliar environment. So in the hospital, I was thankfully able to be there. The physical therapist and the occupational therapist in the hospital spent about 5 to 10 minutes with my mom and said, like, oh, she can't go home with you. Like, you're not going to be able to care for her. And so I kind of thought it a little, I mean, I thought worst case scenario in my head, like, it's it, like, she's ever coming home. And my husband just told me, like, that's not their choice. That's our choice. Like, we can do it. They don't know us. We can do it. And just really helped me to see, like, we're going to do, like, we have to take her home. So I was met with a lot of resistance about wanting to take her home. And it changed. I mean, it really has changed everything in a lot of ways, but she's doing great. They were like, well, I don't, like, when she goes home, you need to have these things. And I was like, oh, I already got a walker. I already got a wheelchair. I already have a hospital bed. We already got a thing. And they were like, oh, okay. Like, you're going to get all these things. And we had physical therapy twice a week, and we had occupational therapy, and we had skilled nursing twice a week. And we did all the exercises all the time. And she's actually up and walking now. She has a walker and she still needs an assist to get up. But I don't know, she might have needed an assist to get up at this point. Anyway, who knows? And she is doing great. The first day that we had in-home physical therapist, the first physical therapist we had at home, she suggested that we do a Hoyer lift immediately, like within a couple minutes of spending time with my mom. And we don't need that. We're doing so great. So, but it totally changed everything. She's now in a wheelchair when we go places, just safety wise, because I don't really know what the terrain's going to be like and it's unfamiliar. So that's been different. We had to get a vehicle. Obviously, that was easier with the wheelchair. And it actually, I had made the decision to resign from my job back in January or February, but this just definitely solidified my decision. It was like, oh, yep, that's the right decision to make. I ended up having to take some time off. I did have an incredible sub that subbed for me every day I was out. So my kids got two teachers and she was wonderful and an amazing support system. But it definitely changed a lot of things. And I have to really think now about if we are going to go anywhere, like, is it wheelchair friendly? If it's not wheelchair friendly, then we can't go. So yeah, it's definitely changed a lot of things, but it did just show me how strong both of us are. You know, they said we couldn't do it. The physical therapist and occupational therapist that did the evaluation in the hospital were like, she might not walk again. Because the first time they tried to get her out of bed, it took four people and they couldn't get her out of bed. And now she's just cruising around with her little walker and her platform attachments.
And again, mindset, right? You and belief, like you believed that it would be okay. You believed it could happen. Of course, there are situations where unfortunately that's not the reality and, you know, it doesn't get there, but you tried and you were willing to go there and see, like, let's do everything we can. And you believed and knew what she could do. And that is just so incredible. So Patty, where can people find you? Where can people learn more about you?
Yeah. So I'm on Instagram is probably like the one that I would say the most. I'm on Instagram, Miss Patty Cake. And I am also on Facebook and I have a little like young caregivers of loved ones with dementia group. And we do a little support group and I'm also on TikTok. So I'm just kind of, which is Care Partner Patty. So yeah, those are kind of the big places, but Instagram I would say is my like where I post the most about our journey.
Amazing. And I'll make sure all of that is in the show notes. Thank you so much for being here, Patty. I admire you. I think that you are just an incredible person. Your mom is such an incredible person. I really enjoy getting to know you and more about your experience. So thanks again for being here and we will connect soon.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Caregiver's Compass. If you've enjoyed this episode, please leave us a review. Your ratings and reviews help more people like you find our podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and share this episode with someone you think would love it. I'm Stephanie Muscat. Have an uplifting day, and I'll see you next time.